wrought righteousness, or they got to be right with God. They obtained promises. Look at this. Stop the mouths of lions. That's huge. Amen. That's good protection there. That's what Daniel did. He stopped the mouth of lions. It was supernatural. He says, they obtained promises. So by faith, we obtain promises. No matter what it is in the scripture, if you can find a promise, you can lay your heart on it. If you need it, and you'll have it. Amen. So as an introduction, I would say that almost everybody I know, even in this room right now, is believing for something. People are believing for promises, these promises that are in the Word. We desire, whatever thing we desire in life is tied to God's Word. If we are to obtain something from God, we must go to the Word and receive it by there, by faith. Brother Hagin used to say, the most outstanding miracles he had in his ministry was he's just teaching the Word and people sitting there. That's the guy who preached 70 years saying this. He said, yes, we had notable miracles and signs and wonders, but he says the most powerful miracles that I've ever had in my ministry was when people just sitting there listening to the Word and receiving. Now, you can receive something, not because I'm preaching, not because, you know, anything else other than what God's Word says. We honor the Word, right? So we must go to the Word. If we have a word on a certain thing, as the Bible says, whatsoever thing we desire, then we have a strong foundation for what we want from God. We can lay our faith on that thing, on that promise. Our text says, whatsoever things we desire, that you desire. It's not what somebody else desires, but what you desire. You must believe that you receive it before you ever have it. You guys say, I have it? Well, somebody says, do you have it? Oh, yeah, I got it. Well, it doesn't look like it. Well, it doesn't matter what I look like. I have it. I remember Brother Hagin said he had that partial stroke where your face gets, falls down and you can't move it and you can't feel it. He had a stroke like that when I was just a young man. He said I was going home and we went to church. He said, ask the pastor there, Pastor, could you please pray for me before I go home? He went up there and they prayed, laid hands on him, and they prayed over him, and he received. And he's going home with all the kids, you know, the young people. And they said, Brother Hagin, Kenneth, did you really receive healing when a pastor laid hands on you? He said, oh, I sure did. He said, well, you don't look any different. He says, are you sure? He said, yeah, I'm sure. So he went home. They walked over to Imogene. They were a girl. Girl's mother asked, Mom, come here, look at Kenneth's face. He said he got healed tonight at church, and look at his face. Does he look any different? He said, no, it won't look any different. He said, yeah, but I receive it. I got healed last night when brother pastor laid hands on me. That's when I received. He said, you see, I'll show you. And he comes around, and the next time they saw him, he's healed. He received by faith. Glory to God, amen. You could do that right now. Whether or not you feel anything, whether or not somebody waved his hand over you, whether or not you fell down and shook, whether or not you felt the overwhelming presence of God, you just received by faith. Brother Hagin taught us, he says, you see outstanding miracles like the Benny Hinn meetings and all these other meetings. He said, I'm going to show you how to do this by faith. You can do that by faith, or you can do that with the anointing. The Lord said, I can do it with the anointing every time. And there's some things I stopped practicing because I can receive by faith. I can know how to operate by faith. The power of God demonstrated depends on two things. Number one, it depends on what God wants to do at that time. Or number two, it depends on what the person's believing. Hallelujah. I saw some stupid Facebook thing there, and someone says, they say all kinds of things. They don't understand faith. They shouldn't even say things, people that are even Christians, even some ministers, they say all kinds of stuff about faith. They don't know anything about it. And, it's hard to say. Like one guy says to me, if you believe, you can believe, if you're a healer, why don't you go lay hands on anybody at the hospital, get them all healed. That's the way Jesus did it. Well, he never did such a thing. That's not in the Bible. It was all according to their faith. They went to him. He never roughed anybody up, slapped them around up and down, and said, I'm going to heal you whether you like it or not. You never saw that in the Bible, right? Never forced anybody. And you'll not get anything tonight if somebody has to force you. Glory to God. Amen. And that's the end of my sermon. So we must go to the Word of God. If we got the Word of God on it, we have a strong foundation to stand upon so that we can obtain that promise no matter what happens next. As I mentioned, our text said, what things, whoever you desire. You ask yourself right now, what do you desire in your heart? What's the most important, the largest, biggest, most profound desire you have right now? Well, you can receive that. Let me just ask you, or at least ask a question. The Bible says, what things you desire. The word things is in there. You see that in a lot of scriptures. And I began to look at that scripture today, and I said, so what is things, definition of things? Well, things, there's all kinds of definitions, different shades and meanings of the word things. The word things has various shades, as I mentioned. It means, and I like this meaning, or definition. The word things is what is required or needed at the moment. The word things, Jesus said, whatsoever you require or need at the moment, if you believe you can receive it, you can have it. Whatsoever things, that means whatever is required or whatever is needed. Everybody say, whatever is required. Come on, everybody say, whatever is required. Whatever. Come on, one more time. Whatever is required. Whatever is needed. So whatever you need. What do you require? You require strength tonight? Do you need anything like that? Do you need wisdom? Well, you can get it. So what does God consider as far as requirement or needed at the moment? You know, sometimes you go by what the world says. And people define you by their standard or what the Bible doesn't talk about. You know, people look at you and they disqualify you for a lot of things. But whatsoever thing we desire, amen, from the Word, we can have it. Amen? You could be dumb as a post and God still can use you. Amen, right? God can use anybody, right? So, I shouldn't say that, but Brother Egan, I used to follow Brother Egan too much. He says, you know, don't look like a bump on a log. He says, anyway, okay. Sometimes we consider what other people think about things we can have or require in our lives. We can think about more what they think about than what God says about what we can have. We pay more attention to natural situations that prevent us from achieving. We consider that more than what God says. We should consider carefully, by careful study of God's Word, what God said we can have, and then we could lay our foundation on that. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26-31. I'm reading the King James Version. He says, for you see your calling, brethren, not many of you were wise men after the flesh, and not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God had chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, and God had chosen the weak things of this world to confound the things which are mighty. Verse 28, the base things of the world and the things which are despised had God chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. You know, God can make things disappear if he wants to. He can bring down one king and bring up another one if he wants to, a leader. In any situation. That no flesh should glory in his presence. But 30 says, but of him you are, right now you are, of God, who of God has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. That according to as is written, he that glory, let him glory in the Lord. So if you're going to brag on something and rejoice in something, let's brag on what God's done for us. Let's brag on, let's give God thanks for what he said belongs to us. And thank God for that. Glory in that. Thank God. The world might say, you're not qualified, but God says, I call you, I'm qualifying you. Amen? Don't let the world stop you from getting what you need. Right? Don't let your friends say, you know, that you can, you're unqualified. Don't you know you're unqualified? Don't you know you're not good enough or holy enough? Well, what God says, I'm holy. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm a holy man of God. Amen? Amen? You're a holy woman of God. Amen? Say, I'm holy. He said, you're sanctified. God said, you're holy. He sanctified you. He set you apart. It's holy. You're righteous right now. That's what he said right there. I'm righteous. Say, I'm righteous.
I'm righteous.
See, we call it the way God calls it. You know, if you look at you, even right now that you're born again, people say, that guy, I don't know if he's a Christian or not. I thought he was last week. He's carrying around the rock concert people. Is he a Christian? You know, I sent him a picture today of Ronald Maines and his wife, you know, from Huntley Street. They were there for years. And they're at a rock concert, Lionel Richie. And I saw this morning some guy was this disparagingly speak about a lot of people, about different things. You can't believe everybody. You know, they seem like you have to be out of this world to not leave and enjoy anything. You can't enjoy a singer? What's wrong with you? Anyways, hallelujah. I could say lots of things about that. Anyway, this is my opinion. Who cares? So we need to brag on God. You know, what did God do for you? What has he done lately for you? We should glory in the Lord because he's our righteousness. He sanctified us. He is our redemption. He paid for our redemption. He paid for everything we need in this life. Let me show you about the fig tree story here. That what things we desire. So Mark 11 and 20, Mark 11 verse 12 and 14 and 20 and 24. Let's go ahead and read that. Let's read from verse 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. Verse 13. And seeing a fig tree, everybody say a fig tree. Fig tree is a thing. It's an inanimate object. Afar off, having leaves, he came happily if he might find anything on thereon. He's looking for another thing on the thing. Thereon, and he would come to eat it. He would come to it. He wants to eat it. He found nothing but leaves. What a disappointment. For the time was not fixed yet. Jesus, come on now. You know, aren't you Jesus? I mean, he can't see that far. Maybe he needed glasses. I'm not sure. But anyway, verse 20, none of you are laughing. He's scared of God. Anyway, number 20. And on the morning, as they passed by, they saw a fig tree dried up from the roots. They saw the fig tree that Bible says there. And in verse 13, it says, he saw a fig tree from afar off. He came happily if he might find something on there. When he came to it, he found nothing but fig, but it was not figs yet. Verse 4 said, Jesus answered and said unto it, not to talk to the fig tree. Amen. You need to start talking to your trees. Amen. So he says, answered, no man eat fruit of thereafter. And his disciples heard it. They heard Jesus talking to an inanimate object. You know what? We need to start speaking. Right? Call it the way you want it. So, in the morning, as they passed by, they saw a fig tree dried up from the roots. I don't know how they figured that out, but... And Peter called unto remembrance and said unto him, Master, the fig tree, which thou cursed, is withered away. It's withered away. And Jesus answered and said to him, have faith in God. The correct rendering is have the God kind of faith. Right? Because then he explains, verse 23, what it was, what it is. Verse 23, say to you, that whosoever shall say... unto this mountain. In other words, speak to the thing. Speak to the thing. Be thou removed, be thou cast to the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe, that is, believe in his heart, that those things that he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever thing he had said. Whatever you desire. Right? Verse 24, it says, therefore I say to you, what things you ever desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. So verse 24, again, we come back to the same thing we started with, and that is that we want to believe for things, what is needed and what is required in our lives. Jesus spoke to what he believed, what would happen eventually. We see in his comment, verse 23, He says, for I say to you, whatsoever you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast to the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which you said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said. Right? There's people say a lot of things about a lot of stuff, but what do you say about it? Well, we need to say what the Bible says. Right? What God says. People get scared about different things. You know, this is last days, you know, start shaking, you know, and they're having this going on, that sign going on, they're all shaking. Well, you're not going to have to be afraid. You're not going to be here anyway when all that happens. You're going to be gone. Not dead, but you'll be in heaven. So, we see the result of the word that he believed, and it came through. You know, the things that you say, I see my own prayers come to pass. I see big things come to pass, the things that I pray about. People call me about it, different things. If this happened, that happened, I said, well, praise God. I've been praying that way. I don't say, look what I did. No, I'm one of many people who've been believing God for certain things. I've had exactly what I've been praying about. Someone told me a secret today. He said, don't tell anybody about this. I want to tell you. I don't want to tell you. I said, well, that's what I've been praying about. I've been praying about this. You better shut up. I didn't say anything about it. He said, you shut up. You shut up. You ever say that with your kids? Shut up there. I beat you up. And then I'll beat you up. I'm getting my dad, now I'm getting my brother. He's bigger than you. That's the way they are in the world, right? So he got what he said, didn't he? And Jesus said, you can have what you say. And you are having what you've been saying. Right. Oh, I'm sick. I'm weak. I don't have any money. I never have any money. Things will work out for me. Well, you're having exactly what you've been saying for all these, how many years now? And you want to change that in 2 weeks? Am I talking to anybody? Right? It's going to take some time for you to build up your faith. You're educating yourself by speaking the word. You speak the word for a long time. You start believing what you say according to the word. You don't want to say something out of the word. Say what the word says about you. Are you saved?
Yes.
Do you always feel saved? You say, get it. Oh, man, do I ever feel saved? Oh, I feel saved. You don't always feel saved, right? You feel like killing somebody sometimes. Right? You don't always do it because you know you're getting into trouble. You go to jail. Right? Somebody says, you know, people can control themselves. Why don't you just, if you cannot control yourself, why don't you just tell your boss what you think? You can control yourself, right? This one guy says, I can't control myself. He's beating his 125-pound old wife. Well, I mean, she's not old, but she's 25. And they put him in jail. He goes to jail with 300-pound guys, 6'4" guys. He said, all of a sudden, he can control his anger. Yeah? See, he can control his anger. We have what we say, too. Someone said, you're living right now what you've been saying for a long time. Right? So let's talk about some things that are not seen right now. Okay. Here's Hebrews 11:1. He said, whatsoever things you desire. Remember we said that? Whatsoever things we desire. Hebrews 11:1 says this, King James. Now faith is a substance of what? Of things hoped for. In other words, faith is a substance. Faith, you know, faith is the guarantee or the materiality or whatever you use to get what you hope for. Faith is the substance. So in other words, you got to get that word on that promise, and then you got substance for what you hope for. You know? You got to get the word. It says, where's your word? You want to pray for me? Pray for you? I'm praying for you. getting mixed up here. You want me to pray for you? Or you want to pray for me? Okay, I pray for you. You asked me to pray for you, didn't you? Yeah. Okay, so what do you want? I want this. Okay, so what scripture are you believing on? Well, I don't have any scripture. Well, I can't pray for you. You're not believing. You want me to do it all. I thought, you know. So the people say, agree with me, right? They say, so what's your scripture? I don't have any scripture. Then I can't agree with you because you have no scripture. I got no substance. I got no foundation. So I only got foundation if you got scripture. So you just don't pray for people. That's why the Bible, we fail. Prayer is failure because people don't have the word on what they're believing for. They want you to do believing for them. A lot of times, you know, I was telling my wife, I went to the hospital. This guy, he's in the hospital for a long time. And I went in there. I said, so you want me to pray for you? Yeah, I got this. He's really bad ailments. I said, okay, what are you going to agree on? You've been Christian? Yeah, I've been Christian for many years, and I never did anything with it. But okay, so I'm not going to pray for you because you're not ready for me to pray for you. Okay, so I said, okay, do you believe the Bible? Yeah. Do you got any word? No. Well, here's a little booklet. This is a very small booklet. You can just read these the promises. I want you to read this. I'll come back tomorrow. So I went back tomorrow. I asked him, did you read that book? He said, no, I got no time. He said, well, you read that book again. I'll come back again. Went back again. You read that book. Here's another one. No, I didn't read it. I said, so you want me to pray for you? Yeah. Just go ahead and pray for me. He said, no water with all that. Just go ahead and pray for me. Well, he's got no substance. He's got no foundation. And he wants me to pray for him. And I'll fail because he does not believe. He's not standing on the word. So what happened to him? He died. How many times have we gone somewhere and they don't, you know? Now, if God directed me this way, now if he directed me another way, then I would have done it another way. But the Lord said, you believe? He's a Christian. I've known people close to me that wouldn't do what I told them to do, and they passed away. So you got a brother Hagin said, well, what about him? He seemed like he's a Christian. He's a good guy. How come he died? Well, he said he couldn't believe what we're telling him. Well, he looked like he was believing. No, it doesn't matter if he looked like he's believing or not. Because some people sound like they have faith, but they don't have any faith. It's called mental assent. Just because you agree with the Bible doesn't mean you have faith. You can quote the scripture, it doesn't mean you got faith. Hallelujah. It's getting quiet in here. I understand that. Now, faith is a substance of things. What's everything you desire? Whatever you hope for. Hope is something in the future. Faith is right now. Faith is the word you need right now to get what you hope for. So it's the evidence. In other words, faith is the evidence. The word of God is the evidence of what is not seen. What is not seen is your hope. Your hope can't be seen right now. It's way over there. It's not here. We can't see it right now. But when you have it, you don't need faith anymore. It's there. Right? So, remember, you don't need any faith when you see it with your natural eye. You have knowledge. You actually physically have it when you actually see with your eyes. You don't need faith anymore. You only need faith for things you cannot see. The word see is actually a reference to natural senses. The five senses, human senses. There's a sixth sense. Everybody says sixth sense. Not dollar sense, but, you know, sense. I'm not sure how you would call it. We all have five senses. How many of you got five senses? Some of you don't have it very good because you can't hear. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, that's what your mom used to say. Don't you have any ears? Yeah. We used to say, then wash them then. You wash them. We used to say that as kids. Did you guys have that? And res kids always did it. You got dirty ears. Can't hear nothing. We all have five senses as humans. My dogs have very good sense. He'll try to look at something. There's nothing there. There's nothing there. After 2 days, there was something there. After it started to rot. What's that smell? Solo was trying to tell me, there's something in there. I can't move that furniture, but there's something under there. Get out of there. There's nothing there. He knew he had a sixth. He had another sense. He had more sense than I had, smell-wise. Right? So we all have five senses, some like smelling. hearing, sight or seeing, or touching or feeling, or tasting. Aren't you glad for the taste? Right? You can just taste some food right now by imagination. In other words, a sixth sense. For example, Dr. Frederick Casey Price, Dr. Price told a minister one time in a meeting, he says, if you believe, do you believe you're seeing me right now? Do you believe? You ever know Fred Price? He said, do you believe you're seeing me? That guy says, he was a minister. Yes, I believe I see you. He said, why? You're seeing me. You see me right here. Why would you believe you see me? He was just trying to demonstrate to him, man. That's why I never say anything when a minister tells you in the front row. That's why everybody sits in the back. See, they're smart after all these years. Okay. All right. Anyway, so Price says, why would you believe that if you saw me, if you see me now? He says, we see here in Hebrews 11, the word of God takes the place of a thing you require or need of that you don't possess now. You only need faith for what you're hoping for, what you don't see yet, naturally. When you see something, you actually literally have it, or you see it right before you. You don't need faith then. You only use faith for something you can't see or you don't have right now. So it says here, how do you know you have something if it's not naturally seen? You need the word. You need crystal clear glasses sold here today for free from faith, right? So you need to put on these glasses of faith. I see it now. What is it? I see by the promises of God. And you start rejoicing. Woo-hoo-hoo! Why are you dancing? I have it. He said, you don't have it. No, yes, I do. Yes, no, you don't. Yes, I do. That's what happens to you in the natural. Your natural man says, you're an idiot. Your natural man tells you that, right? But your spirit man says, no, I have it. See, you have an outward man and inward man. Your inward man knows God and knows the faith, but your outward man doesn't know. You know, somebody says your heart is stupid. Your physical pump, it'll get scared of things. It'll get scared of things. If it sees a picture, it gets scared. You know, you ever notice there's sometimes for me, if I go into down a hill of something and I'm, you know, there's turns and I get, all of a sudden I'm dizzy, but I'm not even moving. You know, if you're sitting in a car and the car moves, you're just sitting there just like you're moving. Do you ever get that feeling? Okay, just me. But anyway, but you get those sensations, right? So, but you're it's kind of like, I don't know what it is. Your brain does something. So, anyway, so faith is the substance of things we hope for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith takes the place of something that you don't have yet. So that's why you can rejoice. That's why you can be glad, because you got something, because the word says you have something. Therefore, I say to you, what things you ever desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them. Believe that thing you receive, and you shall have it. Shall is sometimes you'll receive it. You start rejoicing and say, thank God I have it. Why do you say I have it? Well, because the word says I have it. It belongs to me. You need the word for a thing you can't see or have yet. It takes a place of what your senses can't grasp yet. So your faith is the sixth sense. It knows. It sees it. It touches it. It tastes it. You know, and by faith, you got it. That's why faith, it's called the sixth sense. God's word speaks of some things we hope for in life, but we don't have it yet. We need things to happen or occur in life to be happy. But if you had something by faith, but you didn't have it yet, you'd be happy. Remember they told us at Rhema? You got a lot of catching up. You got a lot of rejoicing to do. A lot of thanking God for what you didn't thank him for that you should have been thanking about. I mean, you just get up right now and start dancing if you want. If you want to, I'm talking about. But if you don't want to, you don't have to dance. But you can dance if you want to. You can force yourself to dance. You can tell your body, "Body, I'm telling you to dance right now." Well, what if people are going to say something? Well, don't mind them. Don't mind them at all. Right? You can do that too if you want to. Why you want to do that for? Why? Because he's got something. Right? I remember the time I did that. I was sitting in front row. This guy's preaching. And I've been sick for a long time since I was a teenager. I always had gut problems. You ever had gut problems? I mean, I was like indigestion and sore, painful. I couldn't drink juice and nothing. I wanted to drink orange juice for the first time in my life. So I was sick. And the guy was talking about his son, how he got healed, didn't die. And he said, "You got to release your faith." So I released my faith. I just jumped out of the chair and started running. And ever since that day to this very day, never had a problem with it. Never had a heartburn like that, unless I eat something bad, like, you know, not the way I had it before. Painful. So thank God, it works. I start dancing about it. We're going to have a dancing lesson later on. Believe for what we don't have yet. Do we have the authority to believe what we don't have yet? Evidently, Jesus told us we could. He said, "You can have what you say." That's anything in line with the Word of God. Someone said, "If you can see it in the Scripture, you can have it." Let's look at Hebrews 11, 1-6. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, or by faith, the elders obtained a good report. Somebody said, if it's not a happy report, it's not a faith. Look at this verse 3. Through faith we understand. Through faith. Or the word of God, we understand that the world was framed by the word of God. Now if you speak that word, it'll start to frame up in your life. It'll start to occur in your life. Say what the word says about you. That say what you don't have yet according to, you might not have it now, but it's only hope. You just say it. Say, "Thank God I have it now." Right? By faith, I have it right now. Not tomorrow to say, "Oh, tomorrow I might receive it tomorrow." No, that's not faith. You say, "Tomorrow, I have it right now. According to God's word, I have it right now." Amen. Yeah, you got to say that. You say, "No, I got it right now." The devil says, "No, you're sick. Feel your heart, feel your mind, feel your body, feel this, feel that." Shut up, devil. I don't walk by feelings. I believe by the word of God. Amen? Amen. You say what the word says. Amen. You got to talk back. You know, they said, you know, you got to talk back to those voices in your head. I like what Mark Hankin says, don't run to your giant with your mouth closed. Always speak. He ran to the giant with his mouth open, yelling out what God says. "I'm going to cut your head off." Right? So, we won't read the rest, but without faith, verse 6, it's impossible to please him. So faith is important. Everybody say, "Don't call it like it is." Say, you know, a lot of people say, "Well, that's how I am. I got allergies. I've been skinny all my life. I've been fat. I've been short all my life." You know, I'm short for my age. Right? It is what it is. I can't help it. Well, we can change some things. First of all, let's change what you say. You're beautiful. Look in the mirror and say, "Oh, beautiful. How are you doing, beautiful? How are you doing, you little skinny thing?" I just have to look at you. I know you're skinny, but I'm just have to look at you. Okay? little pudgy man. Pudgy man. Anyway, we don't call things like it is by faith. So we call it the way we want it in accordance to the word. That's how the things that are not will come into being. For instance, if you're sick and your body is telling you you're hurting, we can say, "Thank God healing belongs to me, it's mine. I have it right now." If you're sick, you got a sick, you got 100 degrees temperature. So, you know, you can say, "Oh, I'm sick. Just say, "Thank God healing belongs to me." Don't even talk about how you feel. Talk about what God says. Thank God I'm healed. So Abraham, you know, he's our example. He's a father of faith. If Abraham called it as it was back then, we would never be here today. If he said, yeah, I'm old. My wife is old. She's ugly too. He never said that, right? My wife is old. I'm old. We're past age. No, he said he called it like the way God said it was. Not the way it is. See, I say these things because people do it all the time, right? Well, what does Facebook say? Yeah, Facebook says this. Oh, Facebook, what thou hast for me today? Great, Facebook, I bow down to you before I read my Bible in the morning. Oh, Facebook. How many likes do I have? Oh, 3. Okay. Eh? How's my TikTok going? Oh, only got 7. Oh, coming up. Amen. I was telling you the other day, didn't I tell you that our Momo, she's got over 700,000, maybe more now, TikTok likes and views. She's a big hit in Finland. They're asking her to come over now. Amen. The greatest Momo ever lived in Canada. But for instance, as I mentioned, I said that before, if you're sick, right? If you needed money and you're broke, would you say, oh, I never get any money. Nobody gives me anything. Right? I say, thank God people like giving me money. They just hand money over to me all the time. That's what I say. And you know what? I just get, whenever people want money, I just give it to them. Even if it's a bum I don't like, I just give it to them. Would you give money away tonight? Yeah, sure you would. I would. If I had it, I would. If you give it to me, I'd give it to you. I'd give it back to you. Just to have that experience, I'll give it to me, I'll give it back to you. It's like the Three Stooges, right? You remember the Three Stooges? The guy says, give me the $10 you have. The guy says, no. You owe me $10. You owe me $20. Give me that $10, I'll give it back to $20. It went on and on and on and on for a long time. He says, I'll give you the $20 I used to owe you. Yeah, the guy says, you give me $10. No, you'll be $10. Okay, give me $10. There's 3 of them there. Kept going on in a circle till everybody got what they needed. Right? You owe me $10. No, you owe me $10. I got 5. I need five more. So if Abraham called it back then what it was, he was childless, he was old, he was non-productive. His wife was old, barren too. But God says, Abraham, you're the father of many nations. And Abraham said, yep, I'm the father. What's your name? He said, I'm the father of many nations. I'm Abraham. I used to be Abram, but I'm Abraham. You know, Romans chapter 4. Do you have that in your Bible? Then you can believe this if you have it in your Bible. Romans 4. It's funny, that Romans 4. Anyway, as it is written. Some say, what is you laughing at? I don't know. You have to have something to laugh about to be happy? You can just be happy if you want. Sometimes I say that to myself when I'm alone. I get this way and laugh. What am I laughing at? I don't know. Okay. As it is written, God says, I have made thee a father of many nations before him. The word before him in the King James, if you just a little aspect there in the bottom and it goes to the bottom, it says, like unto God, he says in there. Before him whom he believed, even God, he says, likened to God. In other words, he acted like God. He said, before him, whom he believed, even God. In other words, like unto God, or he acted like God. What did he do? In what way did he do it? He says here, who quickened the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were. Abraham he was unproductive, naturally speaking. He was old, his wife was old, barren, but he called it what God said. So a lot of us in our lives are believing for stuff. It's just impossible for us to believe for certain things. Naturally speaking, what the doctor said, what medical science says, whatever, you can say this. It's going to happen to you. I know a man, he was in jail for 2 life sentences. And every day, he said, I wake up, Brother Higgins gave him a book. Every day, he look at that jail, the door, he says, I want to walk through you. I'm going to pass through the doors. I'm going to come through those doors. He's got 2 life sentences. He's not going to get out. He said, one day, they knocked on the cell door. He said, the warden wants to see you. But apparently, the governor signed this paper. You're released. Mm-hmm. He came to Rhema. He's preaching the word of God. Because they got that book. They got those little books. He brought it to the jail. And he read it. He studied it. And he came out. Some people said, I wish it was me. You don't come by wishing. It comes by believing, right? Notice verse 18. Who against hope believed in hope? In other words, it was a hopeless situation, but he believed his hope was in God. There's no natural hope, it says in that. There's no natural hope. Nothing in the natural could make him feel good about what he was trying to do. But if when you get to that point, you got to go to the word and say, here's what God's word says about it. That he might become the father of many nations, according to which that was spoken. So what does God speak in your life? What does he speak? So shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. He could have been weak if he wanted to. He started to consider, oh, look how I feel. Look what I'm going through. I'm all... He says he was about 100 years old. Not only that, but he had to consider his wife. So sometimes you're going to be in a situation where you're not going to just believe for yourself, but you can believe for your family, your children, or whatever it is. It's a hopeless situation. You say, I know it's hopeless for me. I know it's hopeless for my daughter. I know it's hopeless for my son, my husband, but I'm going to believe. I'm believing God. Brother Aiken used to say, when everything else, Aaron, all the world said you can't do it, I'm going to go on this side with God and believe with God. I'll choose what God says. Is that hard to do? It's very hard to do. But if you want to get somewhere, you're going to have to do it. I read in Gloria Klopin's Faith for the Day, he says, like, believing God sometimes is like, going up the stream the wrong direction. When all the world is going the other way, you're going the other direction, trying to get yourself going ahead. It's easy to go with the flow with everybody else when you're believing. Brother Hagin says, when you believe this way, you're an oddity to everybody. You're strange to believe this way. You're believing the Bible. What did they think about Abraham? What did they think about Noah? What did they think about Jesus? His own family said, you're crazy, you have a devil. Right? They probably said it about you too. You probably have 2 or 3 of them. you could have had a couple, seeing the way you used to live. You never know. But they're gone now. Amen. They try to come back in sometimes too. I noticed that myself on Pastor Kent. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. He staggered at the promise of God. They say if you stagger around, you're not going to get it. But he staggered not at the promise of God. What was the promise of God? God says, I'm going to make you father of many nations. God says, you're healed when you're sick. God says, you're healed when you're having pains in your body. The doctor says, there's hope for you. You know, I'm saying what the God says, I shall not die, but I'll live. And I'm going to tell everybody about it, devil. I'm going to tell everybody about it that you couldn't do it. Why couldn't he kill you long time ago? Because he couldn't. He can't just come and kill you unless you allow him to kill you. Why can't he just scare you? Boo! Boo! Yeah, go ahead. Scare me. I'm not scared of you. Yeah? I used to be afraid of a lot of things before. Look under my bed. Look under the closet. Look even in the fridge. Right? I noticed that things went missing in my fridge. You notice that? Something's eating something in the fridge. So being fully persuaded, how do you be fully persuaded? By the promise of God. That what he had promised, he was able to perform. Abraham acted like God. He kept saying what God says about himself. Don't say what everybody says about you. Say, thank God. I tell the Lord all the time, thank you, Lord. Thank you. I'm healed. I says, I'm enthusiastic, Lord. I thank you, God. Money's coming into my accounts. Every one of my accounts is full. Thank you, Jesus. Money's coming in. Thank you that the spirit of life, it lacks no money. Spirit of life lacks no money. I confess that. I confess that all the people in this church, they have money coming to them from every source. They don't lack anything. This church, these people here have lacked nothing. All their seed is coming back to them. Thank God they're multiplying, coming in, east, west, northwest. They have favor. Oh, my Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Windows of heaven are open unto them. Glory to God. They'll never be sick. Glory to God. They're healed in the name of Jesus. They have favor. Wherever they go, favor opens the door, comes on them in the name of Jesus. I praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. That's the way I pray every day. Every day. I just pray for my, you know, my friends and partners. And sometimes specifically pray for different things. Thank God. I just pray. Just get right into it, man. Ooh, hallelujah. Most of the time I pray for this prime minister in China. China. How do you see it? The Bible tells us how to see things. We can focus on the visible, can't focus on the visible and natural situations we face. We are to focus on what God says about us and what he says about stuff and things. What does his promises say? In every place in life, when you're facing a difficult situation, you have to ask yourself time and time again, what does God say about this situation? You come to a hard place. What does he say about it? Ask yourself that. Don't ask anybody. Just ask God. What does God say? Do you know what he says about it? He said, no. Then if you don't know, find it. Or ask somebody. What does God say? Well, he says you're going to die. Well, no. One man there, back there, his name was Hezekiah, the prophet went to him and said, thou shalt die, get yourself in order, you're going to die. But he cried. He cried to God, right? God, I've been good. Right? He cried. He turned his face to the wall. And the Lord says to him, before he left the court, go back to that man. Tell him I'll give him 15 more years. The guy went back to him. He says, listen, you got 15 more years for those tears. Faith tears. What if he would have been faith? He would have had more maybe. I remember Brother Hagin said, my mom was dying, sick. He said, I went before the Lord. He said, Lord, listen, my mom is not old. You promised at least 70, 80 years for her. Just give her at least 80 years. The Lord said, okay, because you asked me, I'm going to do it for you. Just because you asked me. He said, I'm El Shaddai. God has more than enough. I'm El Shaddai. I'm the God, the all-sufficient one. I'm the mighty, almighty God. He said, I'll do it for you. So the day his mom was getting up there, she says, your mom's going to die now. And she died. But he believed for her. He said, I couldn't always make my faith work, but I can always usually make it work for myself and for my close loved ones. I can't make it work for everybody, but I can make it work for my wife or somebody in my family that's really close to me. He said, I never went to someone's house. If they received me in their house, they never failed to get a word from the Lord. A prophet's reward. He said, one time he stayed in one house. They said, oh, they're crying because, this girl was missing. And they said, no, don't worry about it. She'll come home. She got on the wrong bus. She did? Yeah, she's coming. She's come home. She came home. So you can believe. If I can believe for $5, I can believe for $500. If I can believe for $500, I can believe for $5,000. If I can believe for that, I can believe for $500,000. And $5 million. Money's a thing. This morning I'm calling it as it is. Thank God I see that building out there. I see that building. It's facing north. That, don't you know that the building we're going to have is going to be facing north? I'm telling you right now. It is. It's facing north. And I see some other buildings out there. Oh, it's going to be great. You say, well, how'd that happen to you? Well, no, it's faith. Like, you don't like to say things all the time because people don't believe you, right? But you just say it anyway to people who can appreciate that. You don't say it to everybody. They'll kill you. On Facebook. Right? But I see it. Just as much as I see you, I see it. I see it in my spirit. I see people coming from all over the world coming here. I had that in 1991. I saw people coming to school here from all over the world. In the name of Jesus. I saw it. The Lord showed it to me. He said, you know, the place that was barren is now inhabited. There was a bush there. Now there's buildings there. I'm calling it the way God calls it. Well, what about the economy? Forget about the economy. Hey, Ben? Yeah? What about COVID? Forget about COVID. Don't give up, people. Don't give up. Don't give up when you're facing hard times. Just remember how Jesus did it and how he had victory and how he faced difficulties. As our Savior, he was, a victim of our lives. He took upon himself what we were, sinners. He died as a sinner, but he rose as a victor. And it says over here, Hebrews 12, 1 and 3, it says, wherefore, seeing also we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. That means some of you are going to have to lose weight. All the time, right? Picks on people. Okay, so starting tonight, no chicken, right? Boneless, no skinless chicken. I tried that one time for years and years. I was depriving myself of skin, chicken skin. But I saw my mom say, I'll have your skin. Son, can I have your that chicken skin? I said, Mom, you can have it. Oh, she's eating it away. I said, I'm going to try that. I started trying it now in my 60s. Oh, eating it. One day we're sitting in the thing there, Robbie Hoja says to me, Pastor, can I have your bones? I said, what, these chicken bones? Yeah, I'll have them. He took every bone, everything out of it. He doesn't do it anymore. This is going to be raised off. He can't have that. He was wondering, why am I gaining a lot of weight? I only eat chicken bones. You realize, he's got a pile of chicken bones. Robbie, he says to me, Pastor, I love you. You better still love me after this. Anyway, he wrote to me from Times Square. I don't know if that's real or not. I think it's real. It looks like him. It could have been a TikTok. You can't hardly believe things you see today. You got AI today. Guy shows up on your screen and says, I'm Roma Fisher. And it's not me. It's a robot, like, you know. Give me all your money. Okay. Looking unto Jesus, he's the author and finisher of our faith. Your faith, what does it say, right? He's going to author that up, whatever you said in his word. Who for joy that was set before him endured the cross. So you got to find that joy by looking at the right thing, what your faith says, right? He endured the cross, and you're going to endure every trial by looking, not looking at the cross, but looking at the promises of God. Okay? So in despising the shame that is set down the right hand of God, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be worried and faint in your mind. So that's where it is, right? Like, be careful how you think. It sets the course of your life. What you think about, you'll talk about. So be careful what you put in your mind. Satan attacks the mind, fills your mind with all kinds of junk. You can erase negative thoughts by putting the word in. And you got to keep reminding yourself, you have to do it. Brother Higgins says to us in Romans, he said, you have to do something with your mind. God's not going to do it. Holy Spirit's not going to do it. You have to do it.